Brother of Yeshua, Light of Yeshua Alt. Address. The modern Christian church neither believes the Bible or the words of Yeshua / Jesus, in the manner of the Sadducees and Pharisees who Yeshua condemned as blind guides. Christians today cling to man-made doctrines and traditions and reject the pure word of God. Why? Fundamentally, because they can't understand the Bible while they continue to live a lifestyle in harmony with the philosophy and culture of this world, and embrace the thinking of carnal men. Christians do not believe the words of Yeshua. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Matt 12:36 KJV. Because they are unable to come to terms with the meaning of these profound words. They simply toss them out and ignore their implications. How can we be saved through faith and belief, and yet be held accountable for every idle word? Moreover, what constitutes an idle word? Christians do not believe the warning of Jacob / James when he said, "If anyone among you thinks he is religious, and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." James 1:26 in KJ. If we are saved through faith and belief, then why is our religion useless if we fail to bridle the tongue? Christians do not believe the words of Paul when he commanded, "Take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." 2 Cor 10:5 in IV. How are we to make every thought obedient to Christ? How can we be saved by faith and belief, apart from works and actions? And yet we are required to have total control of our thoughts and mind? Is such a thing even possible? Christians are perplexed by the words of Jacob / James when he said that a follower of Yeshua had to bridle the whole body. James 3:2 KJV. What does it mean to bridle the whole body? Isn't it enough to have faith, believe, go to church, and praise the Lord? Christians reject the words of Paul when he wrote of the necessity to beat my body and make it my slave. 1 Cor 9:27 NIV. Why would the believer have to beat their body? What does it mean to make the body a slave? What does this have to do with being saved by faith? Christians reject the commandment of Paul that the followers of Yeshua must put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Col 3:5 NIV. How do believers even begin to put their earthly nature to death? If we are saved by faith apart from works, deeds and actions, how can believers be required to attain to such standards of lifestyle? These fanatical requirements make no sense. These biblical verses are rarely used today, because they represent concepts that would be considered extreme and fanatical from the perspective of both believers and non-believers in our modern-day culture. In fact, everything in our present-day society has been engineered by what the apostle calls the God of this world to inhibit the fulfilling of these necessary ingredients in the process of the next stage of birth that the Bible states is absolutely necessary if we are to enter into life. Are these requirements fanatical, as most people who call themselves Christians would believe today? Or do they represent the essence of Yeshua's teachings that are necessary to bring about the spiritual transformation of the prodigal son believer who are actively seeking the kingdom of God? Matt 6:33. The problem is that Christians have been so alienated from the essence of the gospel by their adoption and adherence to man-made doctrines that they don't even know that they must seek the kingdom while still alive in the body. See Gate of Eden. Walking in the way and becoming a disciple of Yeshua is a matter of choices. Every word we speak, every thought we entertain, every choice we make brings us either nearer or farther from the kingdom within us. Luke 17:20-21. And perhaps more importantly is the reality that each of our steps in the way are taken incrementally, and the direction and position of each incremental step is predicated by the preceding step. This fact is especially seen in the example of when Paul warned the believers in 1 Corinthians that the baptized and committed Christians of whom it was said by Paul, "For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking, and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you." Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. 1 Cor 1. 5-7 NIV. That Paul warned that they were yet too carnal to perceive the mysteries of God, and they would look upon the deep things of the Spirit as foolishness. 1 Cor 2:14. And that to these believers who were enriched in every way about the testimony of Christ, Paul warned that, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. 1 Cor 3, 1-2 NIV. Let me also add a little from my personal experiences, that is, the people to whom Paul was speaking was not near as carnal and ill-prepared to perceive and comprehend the mysteries of God as is the materialistic Christians today, whose thinking has been molded by government schools and our modern television and entertainment media. Moreover, the wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed makes reference to that experience when the disciple has picked up their own cross, and the narrow door within them is opened, and they are able to sit at the feet of the Master and be personally taught by the one rabbi and teacher. As we pray to understand these mysteries that Paul speaks of, mysteries that were beyond the comprehension of the baptized and confirmed believers, we must come to terms with their nature. To understand the problem of why Paul could only speak to these believers who were in every way enriched as babes in Christ, and yet were unable to perceive anything beyond the milk of the gospel, we must first recognize exactly what the modern church is beseeching the Lord to give them. In their prayers, they are requesting the Lord to totally restore within their minds the spiritual gospel of Christ spoken of by Paul in the second and third chapters of 1 Corinthians, which is the mysteries of God, which the Bible states Jesus revealed only to his disciples and chosen followers. To put the prayers of modern believers in a proper perspective, every Christian who beseeches the Lord today to enlighten their understanding is in fact asking to see and hear things so astounding that they are beyond a man's power to describe or put in words, and after they gaze upon these mysteries, what they have witnessed will be of such a profound nature that they will not be allowed to tell them to others. 2 Cor 12, 4 TLB. What Christians today beseech the Lord to give them in their prayers and supplications, then, is the very pearl of great price that the 4th century pagan church threw away. Moreover, if the modern believer is not ready to open their minds to the minor mysteries that I write about on my websites, which are intended to assist in the spiritual restoration of the teachings of Jesus known as the Way, how then will they ever open their minds to the profound mysteries of God that the Apostle says would appear as foolishness to the Christians who are of the simple faith? Results of choices. What this means is that the Christians of the simple faith are not presented with the same choices, and neither do their choices bear the same fruit or bring about the same results as those who have walked in the Way and become mature disciples of Messiah/Christ. Babes in Messiah/Christ cannot simply fulfill the words of Paul and put to death. Therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, call 3:5 NIV, and instantly undergo the process of spiritual transformation where we fulfill the mandate at Matt 5:48 to be as perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Thus, picking up one's own cross and walking in the footsteps of the Master of the Way must be accomplished incrementally. What choices have you made today? Do you cling to church doctrine, or do not believe the words of Yeshua when he said, "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment"? Matt 12:36 KJV. The 10 words. There are 10 words that were altered from their original context in the New Testament that have the power to reestablish the essence of the teachings of Yeshua, which was known as the Way. These 10 words demonstrate conclusively that the text of the New Testament has been altered in order to make it support the doctrines of the pagan Roman/Greek world. These 10 words further demonstrate that the essence of the teachings of Yeshua has little in common with the Christian religion today. In fact, These 10 words are to Christianity what the 10 commandments were to Judaism, that is, the foundation from which every other aspect of the religion springs forth. What have you done to prove if these 10 words are valid? So long as you fail to embrace the reality of these 10 words, you cannot be a disciple of Messiah/Christ. The Gate of Eden. Why were the disciples and followers of Yeshua vegetarian? Why did they live in accordance with the precepts of the Torah/Law? Why did they live separate and apart from both Jews and Christians? The answer is very simple. The Gate of Eden is within us, and if we fail to enter therein while we are still physically alive in the body, we will have failed in our opportunity to enter into life. And while it can be counted that we are saved by our belief in Messiah/Christ, faith, or the blood of the Lamb, the truth is that if we were truly faithful disciples of the way, that we would experience the opening of the inner door and the kingdom coming within us. The Gate of Eden article explores all aspects of the need to pick up one's own cross and follow the narrow path that leads to the inner gate to the Edenic kingdom of origination. So long as you fail to seek the kingdom within, Luke 17:20-21, by entering through the narrow gate, you cannot be a disciple of Messiah/Christ. The evil of voting in politics. While it can be said that all government and politics is corrupt, it must also be realized that there are degrees of evil that we must sometimes choose from. In the time of Hitler and pre-Nazi Germany, most Christians closed their eyes to the Holocaust of the Jews. Others embraced Hitler and his diabolical killing regime. Only those who actively opposed Hitler were making the proper choices. Speaking of the children, Yeshua warned, "It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones." Luke 17:2KJV. Those who offend or stumble a child will bring the severest of judgments upon themselves. In the Didache, aka the teaching of the apostles, which was used by the first followers of Yeshua, these words are found at section 2.2. Thou shalt not murder a child by abortion nor kill them when born. In the first century writing known as the Epistle of Barnabas, it is stated, "So what is your choice?" The Didache warns at 5:1-2. The way of death is filled with people who are murderers of children and abortionists of God's creatures. And while you may not yourself abort a fetus, in the manner of those who supported Hitler, at present there is a political party that is the champions of the Holocaust of the unborn. They call it a woman's right to choose death for first her unborn baby, and then herself as a murderers of children and abortionists of God's creatures. If you therefore believe the warning of Yeshua that you will be judged for every word, how much more will you be judged if you vote for the political party that is responsible for the Holocaust of the unborn? Yeshua/Jesus did not come to promote belief in the Messiah/Christ. Neither did he come to promote the worship of Messiah/Christ. Yeshua/Jesus came to teach the people the way to become Messiah/Christ and fulfill the vision of a kingdom of priests and a holy nation of anointed, Messiah/Christ. Disciples who are set aside for the service of the Most High God that Yeshua taught was the Father of all of mankind. The path of the way could not be walked by many Jews because they were carnal in their perception of the law, Torah, and could not use the key of knowledge to open the inner door to the kingdom. In like manner, the majority of the Roman and Greek followers who were too pagan to embrace the teachings of Yeshua were not interested in a life of genuine change and spiritual transformation. So they made Jesus their God so they didn't have to pick up their own cross and follow in the way. Thus, the church itself betrayed and crucified Messiah/Christ when it immersed itself in the way of the heathen and worshiped the messenger instead of imitating the pattern and example that Yeshua set as the required standard for all those who called upon the name of the Lord. The good news is that once you understand and are willing to live in accordance with the original teachings of the new covenant, the promise is that you will know the truth for yourself as you are permitted entrance into the kingdom within you. LK 17:20-21. Click icon if you are in search of spiritual truth then join our Nazarene Disciple of the Way discussion group. The below websites are written in the name of Alan Cranshaw, which is my birth name in this present life. The manner in which these other websites are composed is very different than on this one wherein. On these other websites, there is an attempt to document and demonstrate every proof and concept of the way using a multitude of resources and biblical verses. While on this website, there is no other authority than Jacob writing to you as the brother of Yeshua, who was the leader of the Hebrew/Christian movement of the way. In the recently discovered Gospel of Thomas, it is written, 12. The disciples said to Jesus, "We know that you will depart from us. Who is to be our leader?" Jesus said to them, "Wherever you are to go to James the righteous, for whose sake heaven and earth came into being." So to once again restore the teachings of the way, which is today known as Christianity, the Lord has sent Jacob/James, the brother of Yeshua/Jesus, back into the world in order to guide the faithful flock into the truth, the light, and the kingdom within. Luke 17:20-21. It is there that my brother Yeshua/Jesus awaits you. The above warning with respect to the predicted corruption of Yeshua's teachings is further stated in the first century writings known today as the Clementine Recognitions, where it is written, "Our Lord and Prophet, who hath sent us, declared to us that the wicked one, having disputed with him 40 days, and having prevailed nothing against him, promised that he would send apostles from amongst his subjects to deceive. Wherefore, above all, remember to shun apostle or teacher or prophet who does not first accurately compare his preaching with that of James, who was called the brother of my Lord, and to whom was entrusted to administer the church of the Hebrews in Jerusalem, and that even though he come to you with witnesses, lest the wickedness which disputed 40 days with the Lord and prevailed nothing should afterwards, like lightning falling from heaven upon the earth, send a preacher to your injury, as now he has sent Simon upon us, preaching, under pretense of the truth, in the name of the Lord, and sowing error. Wherefore he who hath sent us said, many shall come to me in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. By their fruits ye shall know them." Again it is warned by Clement, "Wherefore observe the greatest caution, that you believe no teacher, unless he bring from Jerusalem the testimonial of James the Lord's brother, or of whosoever may come after him. For no one, unless he has gone up thither, and there has been approved as a fit and faithful teacher for preaching the word of Christ, unless, I say, he brings a testimonial thence, is by any means to be received. But let neither prophet nor apostle be looked for by you at this time, besides us. For there is one true prophet, whose words we 12 apostles preach as predicted. The ministers of Satan have succeeded in altering the teachings of my brother Yeshua, and continue to lead many into the abyss of darkness. But have no fear, my brothers and sisters, for the teachings of the way has been restored so that you might be able to overcome the darkness and enter the kingdom of light within you." Luke 17:20-21.